Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, thank you for your greatness. Lord, you're good, you're great, and that's an incredible combination. Lord, we just pray this morning you'd speak to us, that you would challenge us and you would change us because we've been in your presence today. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for being here at West Hills Church, especially on a day like today. We are indeed grateful. Let me just say this morning, we are continuing on in our series on salvation. We have seen how God calls us to salvation, the work that he does drawing us to himself. We have seen how we are justified. We're made into a right standing with God in the courtroom of heaven. We're declared righteous, and that's good. I mean, that means our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. If you've never experienced salvation, you need to experience salvation. Now, what we're going to look at today is what we call sanctification, and that is living out what God's worked into our lives. That's living out our salvation, living out our Christianity, living out our relationship with Christ. So when we talk about salvation, what exactly, you know, is a good working definition? Well, the word sanctification comes from the same word, the root word for holy, hagios. It means to be set apart, for a purpose, to be set apart for the original design. God has made man in his image. That image has been marred by sin. Sanctification is part of what we'll call the restoration process. It is God's will that we be sanctified, that we be set apart for the purpose of becoming more like Christ. The Bible says in Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. So God wants us, if you are a Christian, if you've accepted Christ, if you have received the forgiveness that Christ offers based upon his death, burial, and resurrection, then God's will for you is that you be sanctified, that you be set apart. Now, how do we know that? Well, 1 Thessalonians 4:3 states it like this. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. In other words, you want to know God's will? God's will, if you're a Christian, is that you be sanctified, that you be set apart for his intended purpose, that being that you be conformed to the image of Christ. So, you know, we're going to talk about various aspects of that. And so if you want to talk about sanctification, I believe without doubt you have to have discipline in your life and you have to have a desire for it. You've got to be disciplined if you want to be sanctified, if you want to work out what God's worked in, if you want to have a life that's set apart, it is going to require discipline, much like exercise. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:7 that we are to exercise ourselves toward godliness. 1 Corinthians 7:1 says that we are to perfect holiness in the fear of God. So you think about exercise. You think about bringing something to maturity. What is it that you have to do when you exercise? Well, you will engage in habitual, repetitive action, that is for an intended purpose. Just like an athlete, according to whatever he's wanting to train towards, will engage in habitual action, will engage in activity that will help him to achieve whatever it is he wants to achieve. So you're going to have to discipline yourself, engage in behavior, put forth effort if you want to live the life, the sanctified life, the set-apart life that God's called you to live. So, discipline. You also have to have desire. Matter of fact, really, desire precedes discipline, because if you don't have desire, you're not going to have discipline. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 19, he talked about how the actions that we take with our hands originate from the desires within our heart. Proverbs 4:23 says that we are to guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of it proceeds the issues of life. That whatever our desires are, they will eventually determine our actions. So you have to have a desire in order to have the discipline, to have the lifestyle that God's called you to live. Now, we're going to see how the Lord helps us with that desire. So if you want to be sanctified, if you want to become more like Christ, be conformed to the image of Christ through his character and his purpose, you have to have desire and you have to have discipline. Now, if you keep up with sports, you know we are approaching what is called the annual NFL draft. The annual draft where the National Football League, the teams in the National Football League, they will select certain college players. And the reason why they select certain players is because they go through this, what they call an NFL combine, where they're tested on various parts of their athleticism. How fast they run the 40-yard dash, how high their vertical leap is, certain times on cone drills, how many times they can bench press 225 pounds. They even want to know how they process information, their level of intelligence. They'll give them what's called a Wunderlich score, a test, so they can see, you know, how intelligent this person is. And they combine all that together, and it determines, you know, where they'll draft these guys. But once people are drafted, some players do not ever live up to their potential because they don't have the desire, nor do they have the discipline to do what it's going to take. Because everybody, if we're honest, everybody's looking for shortcuts. Let me ask you, when you start trying to get in shape or exercise, do you ever look for shortcuts? Do you look for how you can get the maximum amount of results for the least amount of effort? I mean, that's what we do, sort of. I remember back in the early 1990s, there was a product called Jogging in a Jug. Did anybody ever get that? You could take that, so they said, their initial claims were that you could drink a certain amount of that every day, and it would have the same effects as though you were vigorously exercising. Now, I think the FDA kind of made them change some of their claims on that. But, you know, that I remember looking in the refrigerator at my mom and dad's house, there was Jogging in a Jug, you know. I hope it works, you know. Couldn't hurt, maybe. Could help. You know, everybody wants to get that quick way, that easy way, as far as getting in shape, as far as exercising. You know, it's just human nature. It's just kind of what we do. Stephanie and I, we grew up 30 miles apart. I grew up in Vidalia. She grew up in Swainsboro. We didn't meet until we were in our early 20s. But it was interesting that our families had some similarities through what we ate. You know, it seems like families back then had certain, you know, Rice-A-Roni night, you know, all this, you know, just kind of different products. Everybody bought, seemed to buy the same products and eat the same stuff. But also our moms had the same piece of exercise equipment. It was this thing that you would stand on, and you'd take this wide leather strap and you'd wrap it around your backside and you'd mash that button and turn it on, and it would jiggle and shake everything you had. Did anybody's mom have one of those? Yeah, I won't ask you if you personally had one. But it was supposed to simulate working out. And all you had to do is strap yourself in, turn that on, you know. And you know, even as a child, I remember you'd look at that and you'd think, that's just not right. It doesn't work like that, you know. But they, you know, there wasn't the desire, there wasn't the discipline. There was, you know, this is going to work. And it didn't. But when you talk about sanctification, becoming like Christ, it will take desire and it'll take discipline. And you say, well, how do I get it done if I have the desire and discipline? Well, it's also going to take the Word and the Spirit. You're going to have to learn what the Bible says, and then you're going to have to do what the Bible says in the power of the Holy Spirit. Scripture says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That the Bible tells us what to believe and what not to believe, how to behave, what to do and what not to do. I mean, it does. It tells us, here's what you believe and here's how you behave. So, you've got to have an adherence to Scripture. That will set you apart. Here's what Jesus prayed on the night he was betrayed. He prayed what's known as the high priestly prayer. And here's what he prayed in John chapter 17, verses 15 through 17. He's praying to the Father, and he's praying about his believers. He says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. He says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. He's praying to the Father. He says, sanctify them, set them apart. That's from the root word holy. Set them apart according to your truth. Your word is truth. So what we have to do is we have to take God's word and apply it to our lives. Because God's word, if you follow God's word, it will set you apart from the world. Romans 12, 1 through 2 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, if you want to follow God's will, if you want to know what God's will is, what is good, acceptable, and perfect, then you're going to have your mind transformed. There's going to have to be a renewal of your mind. It's going to have to be transformed through the Word of God. That's how you prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Because the world will tell you one thing, but God's Word will tell you something else. And what you have to do is you have to put God's Word into practice. So you want to be sanctified, set apart, being the good and acceptable and perfect will of God? You learn what Scripture says, and then you do it. But wait, there's help. The Bible says in Galatians 5, verse 16, that we are to walk in the Spirit. It says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're told in Ephesians 5, verse 18, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, just as alcohol will control someone when they're inebriated, the Holy Spirit is to control our lives. That God has put something within us that aligns us with His character and His purpose. It's called the Holy Spirit. Here's what Jesus says about that in John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. And here's what he says in John chapter 16, verse 13. He says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. So here's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit works within us to align us from the inside out with God's character and His purpose. The same Holy Spirit that inspired the writers of Scripture, like Moses, like the Apostle Paul, the same Holy Spirit that inspired these writers of Scripture, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is the same Holy Spirit that's within us, so that when we read Scripture, all of a sudden there's something that is within us that enlightens us, that gives us understanding as to what we're reading, and gives us an understanding of how that is to apply to our lives. It's called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is in us. Jesus said, in us, He would guide us into all truth. We're told to walk in the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, to be under the influence of the Spirit. So it's not like when you read Scripture, and you're like, okay, I've got to do this. No, we got something on the inside of us. Here's what the Bible says in Philippians 2, 12 and 13. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both the willing to do for His good pleasure. That God is at work on the inside of you to give you the desire and the power to do what He wants you to do. And as you take Scripture under the power of the Holy Spirit and you start living Scripture out, applying Scripture, God's at work on the inside of you to willing to do for His good pleasure. You will be sanctified by the truth. You'll be set apart. And when it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, what you do is that what God's worked in you, you work out. And here's how this works. You're in a difficult situation. Say there's somebody you know that needs forgiveness. And you think, God, deliver me from that person. God, I don't want to be around that person. I don't want to forgive that person. And all of a sudden, Scripture says we're to forgive. All of a sudden, you read the parable about the unforgiven servant who refused to forgive, and how the master is very displeased with that servant who'd been forgiven of so much, yet refused to forgive for so little. And you realize, you know, God, if I forgive that person, it's going to cost me a piece of me. For me to forgive that person, I've got to go through something that all of me can't get through. You know what? It will cost you something. It will take off a little bit of you. But it'll add to you a lot more of Jesus. It's like John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. When you work out your salvation, work out what God's worked in, you don't work for your salvation, it's a free gift. But you work out what's already been worked in. When you go through those difficulties of life and you take the Word of God seriously and in the power of the Holy Spirit, you apply Scripture to whatever difficulty you're going through, it will have a sanctifying effect upon your life. And that sanctifying effect will take off a lot more of you and put in a lot more of Jesus. See, there may be a difficult person in your life, and God may have them in your life for a sanctifying purpose. You may be going through a financial difficulty or a health difficulty. It's to have a sanctifying purpose upon your life. you're to work out what God's worked in. If you go through something in life and it makes you bitter instead of better, God's will has not been achieved. God's will is for whatever you're going through, whatever difficult person you're around, for that person, that situation to have a sanctifying effect upon your life. That is, that you become more like Jesus. Now, if I go through difficulty, and if I come out on the other side, and I'm more like Marty and less like Jesus, let me tell you something. I'm not doing God's will. But if I go through a difficult situation in life, and I come out of there, and I'm less like Marty and more like Jesus, I'm discovering that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's how it works. So there may be some sanctifying markers in your life right now. There may be a sanctifying relationship in your life right now. And you've made that choice. Is this relationship going to make me more like me, or is it going to make me more like Jesus? When I get through with this, am I going to be bitter toward God, or am I going to be a better man because I'm more like Christ? That's how this is supposed to work. It's not that you just grit your teeth and bear it and say, God, why? It's like, you know, I read in Scripture, none of us make it out of here alive. Unless the Lord comes back, none of us make it out of here alive. And so there's going to be events and circumstances in life. Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome. So I'm going to have difficulties I'm going to have to go through in this life. It's not that God doesn't love me, doesn't care for me, because I know He does. I know what Jesus did for me on the cross. I know what He's preparing for me for all of eternity. It just means that there's some stuff I'm going to go through that's going to have a sanctifying effect upon my life. And if I do it right, following Him, and hearing the Scripture and the power of the Holy Spirit, I'll become more like Jesus when I get through. See, there may be that person in your life that you're praying, God, remove them. God's saying, no, they're there to sanctify you. They're there to have a sanctifying effect upon your life. God, make this thorn in the flesh go away. Just like you told Paul, hey, Paul, my grace is sufficient. For in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. That's sanctification. That's how it works. That's how it works. So you have to have the desire. You have to have the discipline. You have to have the Word and the Spirit. And you have to have some do's and some don'ts. Now, I know sometimes we say, you know, Christianity is a relationship, and it's not do's and don'ts. That's right. It is a relationship. And you're saved by grace through faith. You don't work your way to salvation. It's a gift to receive, not a goal to achieve. But it does have some do's and don'ts. Let me read something to you from Colossians. Well, let me, first of all, Romans chapter 6. Read a little bit of verse 19. Paul writes, he says, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. That means your body, who you are. Present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. In other words, as Jerry Bridges in his book, The Pursuit of Holiness, he says, we need to develop holy habits. We need to develop holy habits. So there's some things that we need to do, some things we don't need to do. Here's what it says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 9. It says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man and the deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. So he says, there are some things that you've got to take off. Now the imagery here is like taking off a dirty garment, dirty clothes. How many of you like to go to bed in dirty clothes? I hope not. You know, I'll tell y'all this. My first year in seminary, I didn't change my bed sheets once. I didn't know I was supposed to. Mom always did it. Then I realized that was not good, you know. It didn't matter if I got in dirty clothes or not. But there are certain things that we realize, you know, we need to change. They're dirty. And if you ever wear something really dirty, you've got real sweaty, you've got all kinds of stuff on it, when you come home, you want to take it off. The old man, the sin nature, the bad stuff, he said, you've got to take this stuff off. And you got to put on the new man. There's some things you need to quit doing and some things you need to start doing. Read something to you from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. He says, "Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." You got some youthful lust, you need to flee from them and you need to run to righteousness. Don't pursue youthful lust. Pursue what is righteous. Go in the righteous direction. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." You put on the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't make thought processes of doing something you ought not to do. Don't make any forethought, don't make any premeditation to go out and do stuff you ought not to do. Now, somebody who's in if there's a believer and they're in a bad place right now, sometimes they think, you know, I'm going to go do this. I know it's wrong. I know it dishonors God, and I'll ask Him to forgive me on the flip side. No. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's not going to help you. It's only going to hurt you. Make no thought, no provision. Don't give the premeditation thought process of doing stuff you ought not to do. Make no provision for it. There's some things actually you need to get rid of, some things you need to lay aside, especially if you're going to live the life that God has called you to live. Here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." So there are some things that we need to lay aside, some things we need to put down, some things we need to quit doing. Going back to Colossians chapter 3, here's what you need to put off: anger, wrath. Do you have this outburst of anger, this outburst of wrath? He says, just like that dirty garment, you need to stop doing it. He talks about malice, wishing evil on someone. You have ill will towards somebody? Stop. Stop. Just that simple. He says, blasphemy, trying to ruin people by slandering. Filthy language. You got a potty mouth? It's not cool. I know sometimes, for some reasons, there are some Christians that think it's cool to say dirty words. I don't know why. I can't square it in Scripture. Don't do it. It says put that away. Put it away. There are some do's and there are some don'ts, and it's okay. That does not affect God's love for you. It does not affect your salvation, but it affects how you live it out. It affects how you live it out. If you want to be sanctified the way God wants you to be sanctified, if you want to be set apart the way God wants you to be set apart, you've got to have the desire, you've got to have discipline. You've got to have the Word, apply the Scripture in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as you apply Scripture in the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to see that there are going to be some do's and there are going to be some don'ts. That's just how it works. Some do's and some don'ts. Recently, when I was catching up with a friend on Facebook and Twitter, and I looked and he had this thing. It says, here's me in my first, I don't know if you say competition or whatever it was, as an Elvis impersonator. No joke. An Elvis impersonator. I thought, you know, when I first read it, I thought, he's got to be kidding. And I look at the clip that he posted. The man looked like Elvis. He sounded like Elvis. And he moved like Elvis. He had the onesie on with the, you know, gemstones, rhinestones, whatever. And I looked at that, I thought, you got to be kidding. And I was like, this guy's pretty good though, you know? And you think, why would somebody be an Elvis impersonator? Well, they got to have a desire. I mean, I don't think you just wake up, you know, one morning and go, oh, you know. See, that's why I'm not an Elvis impersonator. You've got to have discipline, because nobody really moves like that normally. I don't think. You got to memorize words to the songs. You got to know how to do the windmill swing with the arm. I mean, there's some stuff it takes, desire and discipline, if you're going to be an Elvis impersonator. You got to learn some stuff. And you got to learn how to do it. Now, this morning, I'm going to say this. I know he probably doesn't want me to say it, but I'll say it anyway. When Stephen got ready to go to church and he came out today, Stephen, where are you? He's over there. He is dressed just like me. Jeans, same color shirt. I had on a jacket. I said, he got in the car. I waited. We were driving off. I said, you know you dress just like me today, don't you? He said, oh, no. I said, yeah, man, it made me feel like, yeah. For him, he's like, no. So if you see Stephen, tell him, you dressed just like your dad today, didn't you? You know, the animals both matched up on both garments, and so we wore them. But that's how it should be as we follow Jesus. You know, I want to be just like Jesus. I want to have the character of Jesus. I want to be on the mission of Jesus. I want to be like him. I want to discipline myself. I want to have the desire. I want to do what the Word of God says, because it says, sanctified by your word. Your word is truth. I know the Scriptures God breathed. I know I got a Holy Spirit within me, aligning me on the inside to the character and the purposes of Christ. I mean, there's something on the inside that like a magnet stuff, you know, just kind of keeps lining me up. When I'm cooperating with what God wants, it's like that, it's just lining up. I know there's some things I need to do and some things I need to stop doing. And I know that there are some difficulties in life that I'm going to go through, that I do go through. There's some relationships in life that are difficult at times. But I know that God's intended purpose is that they have a sanctifying effect upon me. That when I go through them, that it'll shave off a lot more of Marty and put in a lot more of Jesus. Now I want to ask you this morning. Is there a relationship in your life that's sanctifying you? Or is it having an opposite effect upon your life? Because, see, if we're not going to cooperate with what God's doing in our life, we may meet bad behavior with bad behavior. We may meet bad attitude with bad attitude. That's not going to sanctify you. God's desire is that you exemplify the character of Christ in difficulty. And you may say, man, that's going to be hard. Well, that's why you got the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Remember when Jesus washed the disciples' feet? He said, I've given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. Taking the low place, serving others, washing the feet of the one who would betray him, washing the feet of the one who would deny him three times. Jesus offering himself as a sacrifice on behalf of those that were mocking him and scourging him. See, sanctification, if you really take it seriously, following Christ, it will cost you you. But in the process, you find life like you've never had it before. Now, maybe some of us here today, we are fighting against how God's trying to sanctify us. I got a bad attitude about something about my health. I got a bad attitude about something about my finances. Got a bad attitude about something about a relationship. How do you think God's working in all that? I got this situation that's requiring me to really trust, and how's God working through all that? You take Scripture, and you say, God, I'm reading your Word, I see what your Word says. I know you've given me your Holy Spirit to lead me into all truth. I know you've given me your Holy Spirit to give me the desire and the power to do what you want me to do. I know you're giving your Holy Spirit to align me with your character and your purpose. And Lord, I want to do this, and I'm relying on you to give me the strength I need to do it. I know I've got to have the discipline to do it. And Lord, I know that for me to get through that little opening right there, I know I've got to get through that little opening. I know this situation in life is making me go through that little tiny opening. And I know for me to get through there, there's a lot of stuff that's going to be shaved off in the process. But Lord, I know you want to sanctify me. I know what I get shaved off, you're going to add Jesus in. It's going to be all right. I think it gets back to how much desire do you have? How much desire do you have to be sanctified? How much desire do we have to become more like Christ? You've got to have the desire, the discipline. You've got to have the Word and the Spirit. There are going to be some do's and some don'ts. Now, if you're here this morning, maybe you realize for the first time that there are some sanctifying stuff going on in your life. Maybe you realize for the first time, oh, I understand why I need to be in the Word on a daily basis. I understand now why I need to have my mind renewed, because I don't always think the way I need to think. And when I get it back in the right perspective, I see what God's doing and what God wants me to do. But if I go a few days without getting into the Word, I start adopting the attitude of the world, and it makes me get a little bit bitter toward God and not understand what all is going on. And I don't see life as clearly. So that makes me understand I need to get in Scripture. Me personally, I know I need to get in the Word on a daily basis. I need it. I need my mind renewed. I need to be reminded, hey, this is what it's all about. And when I read Scripture, man, I'll read it, and all of a sudden there's just something on the inside of me. I like the Holy Spirit. And when I read it, it's like also, whoa. And there's just like this pull from the inside, and it's like, I understand this. I see how this thing works. And I understand what I need to do, and I really, you know, before I sat down and yielded my will to God, before I sat down and got into the Word of God, I really didn't want to do what I needed to do, but all of a sudden, I'm reading what Scripture says, and I see what I need to do, and all of a sudden, there's this desire within me to do it. And I'm being guided. See, that's how this thing's supposed to work. And then getting through that little hole, knowing it's going to shave some of me off. Hey, that's what I want to do. I want to prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. So a lot of times people want to know, what's the will of God? Your sanctification. It's what Scripture explicitly says. Your sanctification. That is that you become more and more like Christ. And I don't know about you, but for me to become more like Jesus, it's going to take an awful lot of work. It's going to take an awful lot of desire and an awful lot of discipline. But that's God's will. And as you do that, then you prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, a lot of people don't want to be sanctified, but they want to know what God's will is. Well, I want to know God's will, but do you want to be sanctified? Because that's God's will. And as you're being sanctified, you discover what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you really want to know God's will? I don't know if I want to know it. We all make choices. Do you have the desire and the discipline to be all that God wants you to be? You do it through sanctification. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit. Thank you that Christ died on the cross for our sins, that we don't have to earn our salvation, but you give it to us freely. But Lord, thank you that having given us salvation, Lord, you are now at work in our lives, conforming us to the image of Christ. And that's where we find your will. So, Lord, I pray if there's some believers here this morning, and, Lord, they've been wanting to know your will, and, Lord, your will is their sanctification. And, Lord, it may require something of them that they don't want to do, but now they do. And, Lord, you've not left us as orphans. You said you did. You said you'd give us your Holy Spirit. So I know that there's your Spirit at work on the inside of us, aligning us with your character and your purpose. And Lord, I pray that our flesh would quit fighting against it. We no longer have to live that way. There's a new power on the inside. So Lord, help us to be sanctified for your purposes. Help decisions to be made, understanding how you're going to use them to sanctify the person making the decision. Lord, the hard things in life that we know we need to do, when we understand the sanctifying work that you have in our lives, it makes it a lot easier. We understand the why of why we're going to do what we're doing. And Lord, it's not like arbitrary things are happening to us. It's like we've got a purpose. We know the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So Lord, maybe there's some here and they're not in the Word daily. But maybe today they just realize, you know, that makes sense why I need to be in Scripture on a daily basis. That clicks. Lord, help them to seek you in your word and to live for you in the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.